In your Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 11. We're going to look at not the resurrection, but a resurrection this morning. One that happened shortly before Jesus was raised from the dead. But one that I think we can learn a lot from, as far as the importance of that fateful day when Jesus rose from the dead. John chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary, and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." Skipping down to verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. And many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world." After she said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands, feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Let's bow our hearts together. Let's ask God's blessing as we look to God's word together this morning. Father, we thank you so much for the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you are here in this place, in this room, and in our hearts. We ask now in your holy name that as we look to your word this morning, that your anointing would descend upon us in the blessed, precious, holy name of Jesus. Give words to the speaker this morning, I pray, and give us all ears to hear what your Holy Spirit is saying. And I ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Not only as a pastor, but just as a human being, in the course of my lifetime, I have either officiated over or have attended many funerals. And I find, you might think of, it's an odd day to talk about a funeral or a death on Resurrection Sunday when we're celebrating life. But we must remember there can be no resurrection if there's not first a death. And but going back to my story, I've officiated over many funerals in my 51 years of life. And at those funerals, I have found that there are generally two types of people. You have the one type of person who, of course, is sorrowful, is full of sadness because they've lost someone that they've loved. But their sadness is mingled with joy. And the reason they're filled with joy is for a number of reasons. Number one, they're happy because that individual, especially if the individual has been sick, is no longer suffering. But it's more than just that. They know that their loved one who has departed, not only has their suffering stopped, but they are now in the presence of God. And so there is joy that their suffering is not just over for a time, it is over forever. And with that, there's also, in addition to a joy, in fact, you could say it's another form of joy, there's kind of an expectancy that, you know, taking that body and laying that body in the grave is not the end. And not just the end for them, but the end of their relationship. They know because they know Jesus, they'll see that person again. And when they see that person again, it won't be for a time, it won't be for a month or a year or even a lifetime. It will be for eternity because the Bible assures those who know Jesus Christ that when we get to heaven, not only will all tears be wiped away, but there'll be no parting there. And so there is sadness. There's not just joy, there's great joy mingled with that sadness. But then there's the other person who goes to a funeral and doesn't have that same sense of assurance that the other person whom I mentioned talked about. When they see their loved one there or a picture of their loved one there and hear the stories and the testimonies and things about their lives and scripture and prayer and whatnot, are filled with a deep sense of grief, but they don't have that same level of comfort. They might have a little comfort from some of the stories and fond memories that they might have, but there's no assurance that they'll see their loved one again. And the difference between the person who has that great joy strengthening them, upholding them during their time of sorrow, and the other individual who is just overcome and overwhelmed with sadness does not have that assurance that they'll see their loved one again. It's the fact that they don't fully understand what the resurrection is all about. That was the case of the people that we read about in our text this morning, the family and the friends of Lazarus. They had kind of an idea in their mind about what the resurrection was, but they really didn't believe it in their hearts. And we'll talk about that, what that means in just a few moments. They had this idea, but you know, they just didn't have a firm grasp of what the resurrection meant. And so Jesus, before he himself raised from the dead, wanted to make the resurrection real to all those who were following him by going to a man who was more than dead, if you could, that could possibly be. I mean, he already raised Jairus' daughter, but she had not been dead for a long time. And I'm sure skeptics back then were like skeptics today and probably thought of a lot of excuses why he didn't really raise Jairus' daughter from the dead. She was just, you know, unconscious or whatnot, and he just lifted her up. Lazarus was beyond dead, where he had been laid in the tomb for 4 days in a very hot, damp environment, and we don't have to go into any more detail than that. And there was a reason why Jesus did that shortly before he was crucified and he himself rose again. And it was not solely for the fact of Lazarus and his family, although he loved them. And that's brought out in great detail in our text this morning. He wanted to let people know in a real way that not only was Jesus their Savior, their Deliverer, their Forgiver, he was their resurrecting power. He wanted to make the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ real. And there are many people who need the same kind of encounter with Jesus Christ today, because the idea of the resurrection is something that's kind of out there abstract, but not real to the point where it affects their daily lives. Let's look at our story this morning, and let's see what the Word of God has to teach us today. In looking at Jesus' encounter with the sisters and who this was who passed away, Lazarus and his two sisters, Mary and Martha, were close friends with Jesus. Not that Jesus didn't love everybody, he certainly did, and he treated everyone with dignity and respect, but he had developed a friendship with them where apparently they would spend time together. And actually, there's a lot of things we could say about this. You would expect when a friend of Jesus got sick that he would make every effort to be there and to heal this friend from his sickness so he wouldn't have to go through the pains of death. But in the will and the providence of God, Jesus allowed his friend to die. And when he comes to the scene, when he comes to the family of this departed brother, Lazarus, he comes to a very bad scene. I have to tell you, there have been times, and I've officiated many funerals, and there were some funerals I dreaded going to, although God was there and hope was there. And in fact, one of the first funerals I did, not the very first, but one of the first funerals I did, in fact, the first one I did was for a 13-week-old child. The third funeral I did was for an 11-year-old girl who had died from cancer. Those are things that you dread because there's sadness there, although God moved beautifully in both of those services. And isn't it great to know that Jesus is there even in the darkest of times? It's real, it's real. If you were there, and I know you know it. But when Jesus got there, not only, I'm sure, well, he knew all things. Not only did he suspect that there was a bad scene going on there, it was a bad scene. They were utterly without hope, even with a knowledge of the resurrection. This is brought out in the exchange between Jesus and Martha. Here Jesus finally arrives, and in Martha's mind, he's 4 days late. I don't like being late for dinner. Especially if I don't call first. Jesus finally, you know, and in her mind, and I'm sure there's a lot of things going on in her heart. How could Jesus, who has done so much, who has healed so many, allow this to happen to, of all people, her brother, where he was a special friend to her, her brother, and her sister? So Jesus comes on the scene, and she still loves him and whatnot, although in pain and grief, I'm sure disappointed. And the words out of her mouth, although she knew Jesus, and even though she had a knowledge that the resurrection was true and real, it was something that comes from God, was a statement of despair. Lord, verse 21, once again, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now, maybe this is just me and my own interpretation, but it doesn't sound like there's the joy and the assurance in her heart that I have seen so many other places when a person who has had faith in Christ has left this world and gone to the next world. And those who know Christ that are remain have, as far as seeing their loved one again. My impression in the statements of Martha is, yes, I know there's a resurrection. I know something beyond the grave is happening, and, you know, but it just seems so far, so distant, and may I dare say, so empty. I don't think she had a full understanding. I don't think she fully got it. That this wasn't the end for Lazarus, and not that Jesus would raise him right then. Because yes, Lazarus did rise from the dead that day. But there's an even greater resurrection that's waiting for Lazarus, and that's the resurrection that's also waiting for all of us who know Jesus Christ personally as Lord and Savior. And that's a resurrection from the grave. Not for a time. I mean, Lazarus was raised from the dead. Everyone saw him. In fact, the enemies of Jesus, if you read later in John chapter 13, wanted to kill him. They hated Jesus. And what, you know, what are we going to do? Lazarus, he's proof. Let's kill him. Can you, you know, of all things. Lazarus ended up getting older and dying again. Poor fellow. But one day he will rise and I will rise. And if you know Jesus, you'll rise and you'll never die again. And even now that fills me with great joy, but that was absent in the heart of Martha that afternoon that Jesus appeared on the scene. It's also Jesus' response also indicates that Martha just didn't have that full understanding of what the resurrection was all about. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life, verse 25. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? He loved Martha. Obviously, he was moved by her grief, by Mary's grief, by the grief of the friends and family. And at that time, believe it or not, they would actually hire professional grievers to grieve along with them because, you know, they're just an important part of the process. He was moved, but in sympathizing, in empathizing with them, he also challenged them and corrected them and encouraged them and reminded them that he himself was, even in the face of certain death, was both the resurrection and the life. And whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Yes, I understand you're sad, but don't let the sadness of your heart overwhelm the joy that should be in you. And that's how we should be today. If we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, not just in the face of death, but primarily there, because even though, just looking in this small room, we've got different people, different backgrounds, different cultures, different ethnicities, different social, you know, everything's different. But one thing is the same. We're all going to, at some point, face death. But if we know Jesus, the thought of death should not only hold no fear in us, it should make us kind of happy. I almost felt like doing a little dance. But I won't, believe me. I don't want to scare you this morning. Never go back there again. But unfortunately, there are many, many people today who live life and who face death void of joy and assurance. The joy and assurance that the Lord Jesus Christ provided with his own death, his own blood, and his resurrection. This is especially true, and I've seen this as a cancer patient with different people that I've gotten to know and meet with. Especially true in those people who face death. And even though there's the understanding, like Martha, there is the resurrection, and I know all the scriptures, and I went to Sunday school and this and that. The resurrection doesn't seem real to them. And there's a reason for that. It's because it's not something that they've experienced. It's an abstract type of thought. And what I mean by that, it's something theoretical. But since I haven't experienced it, it's not real to me. In fact, almost everything that we have in our relationship with Jesus is difficult, if not impossible, to understand because we have no frame of reference to make it real. And what I mean by that, let me give you an example. Take, for instance, we all know what discrimination is, correct? For some of us, discrimination is kind of an abstract thing where we haven't experienced it personally ourselves. So we don't know the pain and the shame that's associated with being discriminated against. We know it's bad, but we don't know the depth of it, the reality of it. But those of you who have personally experienced discrimination know the pain, know the injustice. The reason why a lot of people don't understand, don't live in the power of the resurrection, Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3, verse 11, the resurrection is not just a future event, it is, but the power of the resurrection is something that we can live in now, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and then the fellowship of his suffering. It's something that should rest upon us every moment of every day as we live for Jesus. But for many people, it doesn't because it's just out there. It's an abstract thing. It's not concrete. It's not something we've experienced. And so God, to give not just Mary and Martha and of course Lazarus and those who are there, but that whole community and you and I today, a tangible example of what the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ was, chose not to let, if I could use the expression, Lazarus to rot in the grave. But he looked at that grave square in the face and said, Lazarus, come forth. And he did, in power and in might. Came out, I don't know, kind of stumbling with his hands and feet tied, but came out just as strong and as healthy as he had ever been. And it moved, it had an incredible effect upon those who were there. They were filled with not only great joy, but beyond that, with incredible faith in Jesus, or belief that Jesus was the Messiah, the Savior of the world. John's Gospel 11, verse 45, saying, therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did believed in him. The power of the resurrection became real because at that moment Jesus became real as not just a flesh and blood person, but as the Son of God. Now you might be sitting there and saying, well, Pastor Randy, that's all well and good. They were there. But I'm not even sure this even happened. Let me tell you, I know the power of the resurrection is true. And let me tell you, there are people, and you can get books like Evidence That Demands a Verdict or The Case for Christ by Lee Strobel, which lay out some very convincing arguments as far as the reality of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those books are great, and I encourage people to read them. But there's a greater, more important reason why I personally believe in the power of the resurrection, that Jesus did rise from the dead. The Apostle Paul lived in it, even though it would appear from Scripture that he wasn't around when Jesus rose from the dead. Listen to his words as he himself faced death. And you know, for those of you who aren't familiar with the life of the Apostle Paul, he was a mighty man of God. But the way he ended, at least from the outside, it wouldn't seem like it. And the reason I say that is this. At the end of his life, after he had been faithful in serving God for many years, he was taken captive, put into a dark, dank, wet, cold prison, where he spent the remainder of his days before he was beheaded. That was the end of the life of the Apostle Paul. And he knew that was going to happen to him. But listen to his words as he was approaching his death in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. He says, and interestingly enough, at the end of his life, as he's facing his death, he's encouraging a young pastor named Timothy. He says to Timothy, I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I've fought a good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. He was looking for, I have to be honest, he was looking forward to dying, but not because the suffering was too much for him. He was looking forward to die because he was excited. He was finally going to see Jesus. And he may not have lived a perfect life, but because he was a man who received the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, he had a life that was full of accomplishment. He had a feeling of peace about him because he knew even though his present circumstances were unpleasant, unfavorable, hallelujah, there was eternal life waiting for him. Nothing could take away that assurance from him. It gave him great peace. And there was the anticipation that the Lord Jesus Christ, who revealed to him, that revealed himself to Paul on the road to Damascus in a vision many, many years ago, he would finally see face to face forever and forever. No fear, no sorrow, just joyful expectation of what God was going to do, because Jesus both died and rose again. And Paul is not unique in his feelings. And in the closing moments of this message, let me share with you two personal examples. Number one, if your life, or if you have a full understanding of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's hope and assurance in death. One of the, I hate to use the word best, but just personally from my life, one of the most joyful funerals that I have presided over, officiated over, was my father's funeral. My father died at a relatively young age of 72. He had a disease. No doubt in my mind that he knew Jesus. And he had been sick for actually several years, and very, very sick the last year of his life. In fact, the last 5 months of his life, he was in the hospital. There's no doubt in my mind where he was. And as hard as it was to say goodbye to my father that day was, even though a day of sorrow, a day of sadness, was a day of joy. And not just that because of his present suffering was over, and it was, and I was so grateful that God took him. If he wasn't going to heal him, that he took him. There was also that assurance, because Jesus died and rose again, that I would see him someday. In fact, there are times, and I didn't see my father every day, so I'm used to not seeing my father. But every once in a while, I'll see an older man, and they'll remind me of my dad, either by their appearance, by what they say. And, you know, of course, that always grips you. But with that is mingled the great joy and assurance that someday I'm going to see my dad once again. That's the assurance that you have when you know the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, not only is there hope in death, there's no fear in facing death. And I know many of you know my testimony regarding my issue with cancer 7 years ago. It was about 7 years ago that I started chemotherapy. And the cancer, for those of you who don't know, I had stage 4 colorectal cancer that had spread all through my liver. And the likelihood of me surviving 5 years was very small. At that time, less than 10%. And so I knew that there was the real possibility that I would not survive the cancer. And bless God, God had other plans. But at the time, you know, you hope for the best, but you expect the worst. And there were many emotions, of course, that I went through during that time. But I can tell you for assuredly, the one thing I never struggled with was the fear of death. God was just so wonderful and walked so closely with me as I went through that time. But the last thing I feared was dying. In fact, to be honest with you, I was a little excited that I'd finally get to see everything that I had preached about and everything that, the Bible talks about. I'd finally get to see it and see my father who had already passed on. If you know Jesus and you have an understanding, that revelation of the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, I can, by experience, share with you, there is no fear in death. I'd like to ask Henry if you would come. I hope everyone here is living in that resurrection power. And let me tell you, Martha was a believer, but her knowledge of the resurrection is imperfect. And I believe even believers sometimes fall short as far as living in that. Jesus gives, the Word of God gives us a prescription of being able to understand and being able to truly live in not just the knowledge, but the assurance of the resurrection. And it's really two things. Number one, it's Him. You know, Jesus, when He came to the earth, just doesn't show us the way of salvation, which He does. John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He shows us the way to God. And according to John chapter 11, verse 25, that way is Him. "The one who believes in Me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in Me will never die." Do you believe in this? God forgive me being nobody. I memorized that scripture. But to get back to what we're speaking of, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If you're frustrated by trying to figure out the resurrection, you should be, because the only way or the doorway to understanding what the resurrection of Jesus Christ is all about is Jesus Himself. By putting your faith in Him that He is and that He rewards those who earnestly or diligently seek Him. That He is who He says He is. That He was, yes, a man, but more than a man. The eternal Son of God, who left the glory and splendor of heaven, came to earth, born of a virgin, came not only to live, but did in fact live a sinful life. And as a reward for His sinful life, His Father allowed Him to die. But not for His own sin, for your sin, my sin, and the sin of all humanity. And then on the third day He rose again, and that's important too. Romans chapter 10. Mentioned it a little earlier this morning, but it's why Good Friday is nothing without Resurrection Sunday. If we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our hearts that God hath raised Him from the dead, then we are saved from our sins. Belief that Jesus is God, that He rose again. That's the doorway to the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then secondly, and almost as important, it's important to put your faith, most important to put your faith in Jesus. But secondly, to live in this joy and to live in this boldness and to live in this expectancy. It's important to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:11 telling us, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. God, just like Jesus went to Bethany that day to give people a tangible point of reference as far as what the resurrection was all about, Jesus, after he ascended to the Father, as he stayed for 40 days and then went to be with his Father, prayed for the Father to send the Holy Spirit for many things, but for this important purpose, to make the resurrection real. And if you know Jesus and the resurrection is real, ask God to do that second work of grace in your life and fill you to overflowing with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, and live in that power every moment of every day. Yield yourself to Him. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We're going to sing a chorus. I'd like to ask everyone to stand. And then I'm going to say a couple more things before we close the service today. But let's allow the Holy Spirit of God this morning to make the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ real in our lives. Amen? Amen. Not just during the time of sickness or of sorrow or of sadness, but every moment of every day that Jesus is alive. Jesus is preparing a place for us. Jesus has given us victory over everything, including the grave. And Jesus is coming again. Henry, if you'd sing.